As they approached Jerusalem, near the towns of Bethphage and Bethany, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you'll find a colt tied up that's never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if someone asks you why you're doing that, tell them that the master needs it and will send it back at once. So they went and found a colt out in the street, tied to the door of a house. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked them, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered, just as Jesus had told them, and the bystanders let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the animal, and Jesus got on. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches in the fields and spread them on the road. The people who were in front and those who followed behind began to shout, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord! God bless the coming kingdom of King David, our Father! Praise God!" Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and looked round at everything. But since it was already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was young then, a young boy still at home in the care of my mum and dad. We lived on a little farm in the town of Bethphage near the Mount of Olives, not far from Jerusalem. I was just old enough to wonder about the ways of the world, to wonder but not understand really. But still I was sure that someday I would know. And I was caring for our animals one morning in the new light of the dawn, giving them their morning feed in their manger and refreshing their water trough. My favourite was our donkey, a grey beast. He had friendly eyes. He smelt of dust and straw, and his coat was scratchy and warm. She'd just had a baby colt not long before, and her baby was, you know, fresh and wobbly on its feet. They both knew my steps when I was coming, and they'd nuzzle up against me when they wanted a treat. I always had something ready for them, sometimes some fruit, some sweet grass from up the hill. My donkey really belonged to my father, but in my heart she was mine, and her colt was mine too. I was getting ready to take them out to the field to be with the flock. The donkey's presence scares the wolves away. The wolves seem not to know that my donkey's so gentle and wouldn't hurt a fly. I tied her to the post by the gate. And while I gathered the rest of what would be needed for the day, I heard some noise on the road. I went back and looked out of the house and saw some dust being kicked up by two men approaching the lane nearby. They went up to my donkey, and they untied it as though it was their right. And they began to lead my donkey away and a colt with her. Calmly with purpose they went. I ran after them and I said, "Hey, that's our donkey." But then I felt a hand on my shoulder. It was my father. He looked to the two men and they looked at him. They exchanged a meaningful look. And they said, the Lord needs them. And I will send them back. And my father nodded his head. It was as if this had all been arranged beforehand. Perhaps it had been. It felt like it to me. Why else would my father have parted so easily with them? My heart leapt, and I felt like a part of me was being taken away, something important. And yet, in some way, it was a secret adventure, so I nodded too, giving my permission for the donkey to be led away. Maybe this is it, I wondered. Maybe this is the day. Maybe this is the day that starts the big change that we've been waiting for. Maybe my donkey was a part of the big dream that my father and his brothers and cousins and, well, everybody in town had been talking about. The dream that would get rid of the Romans out of Judea and give back our land to us Jews. There'd been a lot of talk lately about whether to trust that prophet in the northern provinces. His name's Jesus of Nazareth. What good can come out of Nazareth? From Galilee. Was he the one? The Messiah? The Savior? Would he overthrow the enemy, redeem us from our disgrace, and let us taste freedom again? Was this the day? I decided to follow my donkey. I told myself I was just checking up on my donkey and her colt, keeping them safe. So I trailed a safe distance behind, watching and wondering. The two men brought my donkey and the colt to a larger group gathered not far from the Mount of Olives. Perhaps there were a dozen in all. A few of them removed their outer coats and laid them on the donkey's back, and they helped one man to get on his back. I assumed this must have been the master that the two men had talked about. A crowd was beginning to gather, and I got the sense that wherever this man went, a crowd was always beginning to gather. It's strange, there was something about him. I can't put it into words. I crept closer, but not too close. I looked for signs that he was a strong warrior, to see if he was the one. I looked closely, but as far as I could tell, he didn't carry a sword. He seemed comfortable enough on my donkey, even though my donkey hadn't been ridden before. And they began slowly to make their way down the path into Jerusalem. His face had an expression on it that I could not identify. It was kind of purpose and determination and fear and hope. Maybe he too was thinking, this is the day. I kind of trusted him though. I even liked him. I wanted to follow him to see what he would do. Who is this? A man who was standing near me asked the one who stood beside him. The response, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. I heard a sense of hope in their voices, a wild hope, a deep yearning, a wondering. Up ahead, I heard somebody yell, Hosanna to the Son of David! And the path before him was cleared the way they do for processionals when the Roman rank and file passed by. Except this time it was one of our own. And we were making way, not out of fear or duty or obligation, but out of some kind of wild hope. People laid their cloaks down and branches from the trees so the feet of the donkey, his mount, would not touch the bare ground. And dust would not cloud our vision of this man. When the Romans ride into town, they usually ride on a war horse, white with chariots. But I guess this Jesus didn't have access to that kind of pomp in his procession. He just had my donkey. I hoped it would be okay. Hosanna to the Son of David! The shout from the front became a chant from all sides. In front of Jesus and behind, on both sides of the street. And I started chanting too. I was energetic and excited, and I wondered what it meant. I also heard some people cry out, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" I knew the psalm from which it came. It's one of our festival psalms. We sing it on holy days. We were getting ready for a holy holiday season, for Passover. Hosanna, we were chanting. It means save us. In the psalm at the temple, we cry out Hosanna to our God to save us from our distress. But we were singing our Hosannas to this man riding on donkey back, Jesus of Nazareth. I was a bit confused by that. Was it okay? As I thought about it a bit more, it struck me that Jesus' name also meant one who saves. Hosanna, Jesus, save us, one who saves. His mother must have had some foresight when she named her baby Jesus. "Who is he?" I asked a woman that was standing nearby me. She didn't hear me. She was frantically waving her palm branches and shouting. I guess she was just caught up in the moment. We all were, to some degree or other. So I joined in the crowd. Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! Hosanna! Hosanna! But still, I wondered. And then that hand came on my shoulder again. It was my father. I should have known that he would follow the donkey too and catch up with me. Standing behind me, I felt his warm hands on my arms as he looked over my shoulders to survey the procession. I heard my father's gentle voice in my ear, and he quoted something from the prophet Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Your king comes to you triumphant and victorious, humble, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations." Humble. And riding on a donkey. My donkey. He shall command peace to the nations. I turned around and looked in my father's eyes, and in his eyes I could see a confident hope for peace. That sounds weird but true. And a joy that he was sharing this moment with me. "This is the day that the Lord has made," I murmured back at him, quoting that same psalm that has hosannas in it. Peace. Peace, freedom from Roman rule. How we longed for that day to come. Many were willing to fight for that day. Was it coming soon? Was our moment now? Would this man lead us there? Hosanna! Hosanna, Son of David! We had been waiting, and we were ready. I looked at his face, the face of Jesus, searching for a sign. And he was still confident, determined, But I also detected a trace of sadness. Or was it fear in his eyes? Why did he not have the boastful pride of a war champion? Why did he look with such compassion out on the crowd? Who is he? I asked my father. How can we know that he's the one? He has great power, my father said. He has healed many sick. He tells amazing stories about God. I hear he even raised somebody from the dead. Surely he has the power to bring peace. And then we moved forward with the crowd so as not to lose sight of our donkeys. And not to lose sight of the one riding on them. As we walked with hosannas all around us, I wondered, how would he command peace from a donkey's back? He's a healer, a storyteller, a prophet, not a warrior. I started to have a queasy feeling in my stomach that things were not going to go well for Jesus. I was already starting to think of him as my Jesus, riding on my donkey. I wanted to shout out to him, "Watch your back, Jesus, because they don't know who you really are." Did the others who were shouting hosannas think he would change from donkey back to war horse? What would they do to him when they found out that he was not that kind of king? Those cheers could turn nasty if things turned out wrong. But I think my Jesus knew that already. As he looked out at the people shouting hosannas, I think he knew that Jerusalem would not remain welcoming. He knew. And still he went into Jerusalem, and he did not turn back. He faced Jerusalem with intention. And he accepted the shouts from the side of the road, our hosannas which contained our wild hopes, our deep longings. He knew that not everyone on the side of the road would be with him all the way. We all had our reasons for shouting hosanna. We all had our reasons for wanting to be saved. We all had our own sense of what or who would save us. We had our own thoughts about what would bring peace. He knew. We followed him all the way into Jerusalem, the procession of wild hope, until we reached the temple. Jesus got off the donkey. His disciples tied it up with her colt still beside her. And Jesus went into worship at the temple. And I approached my donkey and rubbed her behind her ears, crooning my affection. Her back was still warm from the cloaks and from the weight which she'd carried. Her colt nuzzled in close to the curve in her side. "Who is he?" I asked my donkey, knowing that there'd be no answer. "Will everything be all right?" Then I remember a commotion coming from behind the temple gate, some shouting and angry voices, and I wondered what was happening. Some people were really angry, as if something horrible had happened inside. "Who does he think he is, turning over the tables in the temple and raising a ruckus?" I left my donkey for a moment and I snuck into the courtyard. The children who had been part of the procession were still singing Hosanna songs, but the courtyard was a mess. Tables overturned, animals running loose, and there was money all over the ground being collected by those businesses that had been disrupted. By the time I got in, Jesus had moved on to receive another procession, this time of the blind and the lame. He healed them, each one, and they left with hope and joy. And the children kept singing the echoes of the hosannas, and Jesus received them too. He accepted their songs and he smiled at them. He seemed content in their presence. But the chief priests did not appreciate them or Jesus. They looked really angry. Maybe they were taking their confusion and anxiety out on the children instead of their real object of their anger. But Jesus chided them gently. I didn't hear his exact words, but the priest didn't seem very pleased as they backed away from Jesus and left him to the crowd that remained around him. Mostly children and people who needed healing, the sick, the wounded, the lost, the helpless, the young. I continued to wonder, who is he? Is he the one? Is this the day? What is this salvation that he brings? Will he be okay? What will happen to him in Jerusalem? I saw the chief priest stiff-backed and walking with hard, strong steps. They convened in a corner, glancing with fear and frustration and anger over this Jesus. And I felt my stomach tense in fear on Jesus' behalf. And then I felt that familiar hand on my shoulder again. It was my father. He'd caught up with me. "Come now," he said. "Let's go on our way." And so we went back through the temple gates, untied my donkey and her colt, and led them home. We walked in silence. The path was strewn with broken palm branches, and the sides of the road were all trampled. The quiet seemed almost deafening. And it seemed as though I could hear the echoes of those hosannas shouting out from the stones on the ground. "Hosanna! Hosanna!" The sun was beginning to go down over the hills. The day was nearly done. And from within me, my many questions, my deep wondering had only begun. "I now know he came to save, but not as a warrior, but as a humble servant. Today, just like that day in Jerusalem, we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus. I wonder what he finds when he looks into my face. I wonder what he finds when he looks into your face. Does he see people so busy doing things here and there, so busy that they never bother to consider those things that are eternally important? Does he see people who recognize him for who I now believe he is, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. When he turns and looks into my life, I wonder, will he weep once again because of what he sees? Or will you and I have the joy that passes all understanding as we respond to his great love? Amen.